everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Feminization Boudoir Podcast from Candy Apple Press. I am your host, Kylie Gable. And today we have part three of Slow Burn, Feminizing Her Ex by Pamela Harlow. I have asked before, and nobody seemed to say they were getting tired of Pam, which is good because this is my favorite series in a good long time. So, since there's been no objection to continue playing it, and also since all three parts are available right now at Clips for Sale, I'm going to continue with the series. It's got four parts, but I'm going to tell you right now, next week we have something special planned. These sort of things need to be kind of planned in advance. And next week, we are going to have both Shayla Spezia and Mistress DJ on as guests of the podcast with a pretty cool new special announcement. And so I'm looking forward to that. And in the meantime, here's part three of Slow Burn, Feminizing Her Ex by Pamela Harlow.
Slow Burn, Feminizing Her Ex, Part 3, by Pamela Harlow and Kylie Gable. 1. Baker awoke without opening his eyes beside his girlfriend. He was finally feeling better after being hungover the entire day before and smiled as he recognized her familiar touch. The more awake he became, the smaller his smile. He realised that Grace, although stroking him lovingly, was doing so in a way that was different to before. Before Amelia took control. As Grace's fingers went from his hairless chest, on top of the nightdress she'd given him to wear, up to his neck and his smooth, shaven face, Baker's horror grew. He understood he was being stroked like a woman. He opened his eyes and saw Grace, already dressed and made up, with a darker lipstick than usual, heavy makeup, and her blonde hair straightened, looking down at him. "Hey, honey," she said. "How did you sleep?" Baker sat up suddenly. "What time is it?" "Oh, don't worry, baby. It's early. 7:20. Baker frowned and rubbed his eyes. "How long have you been awake?" "A while," Grace giggled. "I was just, I don't know, excited. I feel really alive. I didn't see the point in sleeping when I could be awake, you know?" Baker didn't know. He wanted nothing more than to return to his slumber, away from Amelia and her commands. "Would you like coffee?" Baker nodded. "I'll get it for you, my sweet." Although Baker would usually enjoy being waited on this way, it felt wrong this morning. He didn't feel as though he were being treated like the man he was. He felt as though his girlfriend were treating him like a princess. But not the kind of princess who could sit around doing whatever they pleased all day. Oh no, he knew better than that. After less time than it would have taken Grace to make coffee, she clearly already had it prepared, Baker watched her walk into the room with a tall glass. It wasn't the kind of coffee he'd usually drink. Grace presented him, cheerily, with a tall iced latte topped with squirty cream. He noticed that the glass had a pattern on it. Sure enough, spelt out just beneath the rim were the words, "Little Princess." He laughed uneasily. Upon sipping the drink, he had to admit he liked it. He'd always had a sweet tooth. Truth be told, he often felt envious of the girls' drinks when they were out and about. But he tried, time and time again, to be the man and drink pints of Guinness or lager. He was relieved when Grace kissed him goodbye, just 20 minutes later. She told him she wanted to get to work early this morning. He didn't question it. He was desperate to have a bit of peace. Less than 5 minutes after Grace had left, Baker's phone went off. "I'll be at your house in an hour. Get there now. We're going to get ready for your date." Baker stared at the screen. He started to type, then deleted it. What excuse could he possibly give? He thought about Grace and what he could tell her. She was bound to wonder where he was that evening. "What will I tell Grace?" "That's your problem. Do as I say, and I won't tell her what you're up to." Baker knew he couldn't win. With a groan, he slurped the last of his girly drink, watched as the residual froth blurred the letters of princess together, and wondered if it was in some way symbolic of what was about to occur. He pulled himself up and out the bed, threw the duvet back so it looked like semi-neat, and pulled on his clothes without removing the nightdress. Baker walked home sulking. Unlike his girlfriend, he was not loving life. 2. Amelia rang Baker's doorbell with confidence. As she entered his small terraced house, she turned her nose up in distaste. "It smells in here. Have you taken the bin out?" Baker blushed. "I haven't been here." Amelia, knowing the house well, walked straight to the kitchen and pulled the bag from the bin. She carried it outside in a hurry, throwing it into the outdoor bin and rushing to the sink, which had a few dishes in, to wash her hands. "You can wash up first," she said, "then we'll crack on." Baker considered being deliberately slow with the washing up. But why? It was just another form of discomfort, and annoying Amelia was unlikely to achieve positive consequences. He blasted through the washing up, under Amelia's watchful eye, then considered what he might be expected to do next. "Can I offer you a drink?" "I thought you'd never ask," said Amelia, gasping dramatically. "Grace tells me you like iced lattes now. Do you have any?" "No," said Baker, reddening. "I have coffee, tea, juice." "I'll have a juice," said Amelia, not taking her eyes off Baker as his shaky hand poured her a glass. "Now," she said, "take off your clothes. Do you need a shower?" Baker gulped. He remembered what he'd left on beneath his own clothes in his haste. "Yeah," he said, "I'll go and have one." "I'll come with you," said Amelia. "I need to make sure you're completely hair-free." "I am, honestly," said Baker. "Ask Grace." "I'm coming with you." Baker walked towards his bathroom with Amelia acting as his shadow. He turned on the water before hurriedly removing his clothes. Amelia squealed with delight as she spotted the nightdress beneath his t-shirt. "I knew it," she exclaimed. "You love it. You love wearing silky nightdresses." Baker said nothing as he pulled it off and stepped under the running hot water. He closed his eyes and washed himself, then opened them suddenly as he felt a hand on his thigh. "Just check in," said Amelia. "You are actually okay. Grace did a good job." Baker didn't know if it was the hot water landing on him, the gaze of his ex-girlfriend, or the mention of his current girlfriend, but he got hard. Amelia laughed at the familiar sight of his rising cock. "Are you thinking about your date, Baker?" Without answering, Baker switched off the water and grabbed a blue towel. He wrapped it around his waist and avoided eye contact with Amelia. "Into your bedroom," she instructed him. "Sit on the edge of the bed and await further instructions." Baker did as he was told. He perched on the edge of the bed, covered in his dark bedclothes, and awaited Amelia's commands. She entered the room with a large bag and threw it beside him. "Underwear first," she said. "It's in there." Baker opened the bag. Sure enough, right on top lay a pink and black underwear set. The bra was still in its packaging, labelled 2 sizes up. He lifted it in front of him and felt just how padded it was. "Your date will love that," said Amelia, grinning. "What was his name again?" "John," muttered Baker. He lifted the straps over his shoulders, prompting a loud tut from his ex. "Hasn't Grace shown you how to put a bra on yet? Here, let me show you." Amelia showed Baker how to fasten the back of the bra on his chest before spinning it around and pulling the straps up. Within seconds, his chest bore the undeniable illusion of breasts. "Okay, now panties," said Amelia, shoving the matching pair into Baker's hand and pulling the towel away from him. In a hurry to cover his now flaccid cock, Baker pulled them up. Amelia smirked as she stood back to take a picture. Next, she handed him a little black dress. "You have to wear a black dress on your first date," she said, matter-of-factly. Baker shrugged and tried to remember whether Amelia wore one on their first date. He didn't think she had. He pulled it on over his head and sat with a grumpy, tired expression on the edge of the bed. Amelia took another picture and shook her head. "Smile!" "Of course," Baker complied. She handed Baker a pair of thin, black, hold-up stockings, told him to be careful when putting them on. Baker concentrated hard on making no holes in the hold-ups as he pulled them up to his thighs. He'd worn them before, with Grace, so he knew how to bunch them up before putting his feet in. Pleased, Amelia then passed him a pair of black heels, size 7, and a black bob wig. "You also have to wear a wig, until your hair's long enough, that is." Baker involuntarily touched his hair. He hadn't realised it till she said it, but it was growing longer than it had ever been. Was this something the girls had planned? He stroked the back of his head and, sure enough, his locks almost reached the bottom of his neck. Amelia pointed at the wig he held in his other hand, putting her own hand on her hip with impatience. "Oh," said Baker. He put the wig on his head and remained seated on the edge of the bed as Amelia pinned it in place. He stayed still as she continued to ready him, applying thick layers of makeup, false lashes, lipstick that was on so thick it actually touched where his moustache would be, giving the illusion of much fuller lips, and lashings of sparkling eyeshadow. Pleased with herself, Amelia stood back and took yet another photo, remarking, "In this one, you actually look almost passable. I think we need to go bigger with the boobs next time." Baker's hands rose to his chest. He touched the padding in front of him and looked down. It looked as though he really did have a cleavage. Did girls do this? He wondered. It would be so easy for girls to lie about how big their breasts were. Amelia pulled him up off the bed, causing him to almost lose his balance. He hadn't even registered her putting shoes on, or the pain from them being too small, until he stood. Now, his toes bunched together and his soles burned. "You seem ready to me," said Amelia. "You can spend the next hour practicing your walking. I don't want you falling over on your date with John. Then, we'll go and meet him." "We? Oh, don't worry, he won't know I'm there," exclaimed Amelia. "I'll be a couple of tables along, you know, just watching." Baker looked at her phone and knew she meant more than just watching. With a sigh, he walked around his bedroom. Better to be feminized with a task to do than to be alone with his anxiety and shame.
Hey everybody, you're listening to the Feminization Boudoir podcast from Candy Apple Press. We'll be right back.
Kylie got an email from Spotify last month warning him about adult content on the podcast. For now, there is no problem, but we do have to be careful about what we put on the free podcast so that we can stay podcasting. Scenes that might have been allowed before might be a bit dangerous for us. It's one of the reasons that the premium podcast is so important. Because you subscribe to listen, we don't have to worry about content limits, so we can include much more titillating scenes. Premium subscribers get the entire audio, and not just a clip. That includes all the good parts, and the shows don't just disappear when we're done with them. There's something like 30 hours of content in the archives accessible when you subscribe. It's $15 a month, and we know that's not in everybody's budget, but if you're interested, check out the Premium Feminization Boudoir on Spotify, or check out the link in this show's description.
3. By the time he'd finished practicing walking, Baker was already exhausted, but Amelia had no rest scheduled for him. "Let's go," she said, seconds after he sat down. "What? Look at the time. Sure enough, it was 4 p.m. How had that happened? His date was booked for 5, and he certainly wanted a drink before. "I'll even buy you a glass of Dutch courage," Amelia smiled, without kindness, "before your big night." Baker didn't know why Amelia emphasised the word big. He didn't want to. By this point, he was happier being unpleasantly surprised than he would have been worrying about what he knew was to come. "What have you told Grace you're doing? Surely she's going to wonder why you're not around." "She thinks I'm with my brother." Baker had told Grace that, knowing she wasn't too fond of his brother, and so never asked many questions about it. "Good," said Amelia. "We wouldn't want her to find out, would we?" Baker looked down, staring at his heeled shoes. How was Amelia doing this? He didn't even want to go on the date, and now doing so was giving her even more blackmail material. What a sneaky bitch. She was surely evil. What had he ever seen in her? They walked together into town to the posh cocktail food bar where he was due to meet John at 5 p.m. By the time Amelia bought them both a double gin and tonic, 4:20. "Drink up," said Amelia, sucking her own drink through the straw. "You're going to need it." Baker ignored her and looked again at the picture of John on his phone. He was a little older, 27, and he had a kind smile. Unlike Amelia, he thought. He had a goatee beard and a short, shaven hairstyle. He had an ear piercing and tattooed arms. He looked like a cool guy, Baker thought, but he wasn't attracted to him. He liked girls, honestly. At 4:50, Amelia left Baker alone with a fresh drink. That was just as well, for John entered at 4:52. "Hello, gorgeous." John's voice was smooth and he oozed confidence. Baker smiled up at him, all too aware of Amelia's gaze. He felt his phone vibrate in his pocket, but knew it was too soon to look without it being rude. "Can I get you a drink?" John said, pointing at Baker's fast emptying glass. "Oh, yes, please," said Baker in an overly feminine voice. "I'll have whatever you're having." John laughed and walked to the bar. Baker took the opportunity to glance at his phone. 2 messages. Firstly, "Hey baby, I'm missing you. I hope you're having fun with your brother. It's quite funny. Now you're a sis. Ha! See you tomorrow, sweetie. Kiss, kiss, kiss." Then, "In 30 minutes, lead John outside. You know as well as I do about the alley of the car park. You're going to suck him off there." Baker scowled in distaste. He looked over at Amelia, who beamed at him as she sipped through her straw. John returned. "So, tell me about yourself." The next 30 minutes went too quickly. John was touchy-feely from the start, stroking Baker's thighs and even playing footsie with his sore feet beneath the table. John didn't seem surprised at all when Baker took his hand and silently led him through the door towards the secluded area. Amelia crept behind them, keeping her distance but getting close enough to capture all the footage she needed. Baker gagged on John's cock at first, but then he remembered a trick he'd heard Grace and Amelia talking about. He put his thumb inside his fist and clenched his hand. Sure enough, he was suddenly able to take John's cock into the opening of his throat. He looked up and saw him smiling and groaning with pleasure. "Good girl," John said, stroking Baker's wig in a way he could only just feel. "Good girl, that's it, baby, don't stop." Knowing what worked for himself, Baker sucked faster. He wanted it to be over, but this John guy didn't seem to want to come. He was enjoying himself too much, thrusting into Baker, letting out long, slow moans. Baker could tell he was holding off for as long as possible before coming. He sucked even faster, and as he felt John's cock get even harder as he approached his climax, he realised that he too was rock hard. He let out an involuntary moan as he sucked and sucked, his chin repeatedly hitting John's balls, then gasped a little as he heard John let out a loud exhalation as he came, powerfully, into his mouth. Stunned by the intensity of the final few minutes, Baker almost fell back after swallowing John's cum. John took his hand and lifted him up, kissing him deeply. "That was wonderful, baby." They looked into each other's eyes, both smiling until they heard a sudden laugh from just several feet away. "Come on," said John, gripping Baker's hand tightly. "Let's go back inside." 4. In his own bed, Baker awoke with a throbbing head. He knew he needed water, water, more water, but he couldn't move right away. After 10 minutes of lying in misery, with a sour taste in his mouth, he staggered to his bathroom and turned on the tap. He looked around. There wasn't even a glass in there. He cursed himself for not spending more time in his own home than put his head under the tap, drinking as much water as he could. This made him feel a little better, and he walked down to the kitchen. There, he used his coffee machine to make what would total 6 cups of coffee. He'd drink them all, and a couple of slices of toast. After refreshing himself and showering, Baker picked up his phone. Once again, both Grace and Amelia had messaged him. "Hey baby, I'll be at yours late morning if that's cool, kiss kiss kiss." Then, "Grace is coming over to yours today. Make sure you're dressed up nicely for her. I've left your outfit on the doorstep." Baker responded to Grace. "Great, can't wait to see you, baby. I'm a bit hungover after seeing my bro, ha ha, kiss kiss." He knew he shouldn't overdo it with the stories of him and his brother. He wasn't a good liar, and offering too many details was even worse than offering none. He'd just try to avoid the subject from this point on. "Serves you right. Okay, I'll be there soon. Kiss, kiss, kiss." He walked, with just his dark towel wrapped around his waist, to the door. He opened it and found a box on the step. He picked it up and threw the contents to the floor. A flowery dress, casual, spring-like. It was almost autumn, and Amelia had bought it in the sale, but Baker wouldn't know that. He pulled it on over his head, as casually as he would one of his own t-shirts or sweaters. There was underwear in the box too, but he didn't even bother. He threw his towel in the wash basket and sat, wearing just the bright, flowery dress, watching reality TV. Baker almost fell back to sleep when his buzzer went. He went to let his girlfriend in and was pleased by her excited reaction until he realised it was in most part due to the dress, not himself. "Oh my God," she squealed. "It's so good to see you like this. Oh, I'm so pleased you like it. I got a bit worried, you know, that we might be forcing you to do it. It's so good to know that you're doing this for you too. Oh, don't you look pretty?" As Baker kissed his girlfriend, he felt as though he was shrinking. He remembered kissing John last night and pulled away suddenly. "What's wrong?" "Nothing." He kissed her again, remembering John's cock deep inside his mouth. "Hey," said Baker, "shall we go to bed for a bit?" Grace giggled. "That's not very ladylike," she said. Then, more seriously, "We'll go to bed when I say so, B." It was the first time she'd called him B, and it took them both by surprise. "Okay," said Baker, suddenly longing for his girlfriend, more than ever before. 5. Grace soon noticed that Baker wasn't wearing underwear as she spotted the semi-erection beneath his dress. "Come on, B," she said strictly. "We can't have that, can we? It's getting windier. What if something blows your skirt up?" Baker looked down at his bare legs and the very, very obvious shape of his penis in the dress. "What's going to blow my skirt up?" he said. "We're indoors." "But we're going out," said Grace. "I'm so pleased you're dressed already. You'll fit right in at the arcade before we see the film." Baker didn't know what she was talking about. They hadn't discussed going to an arcade or to see a film. She was clearly enjoying being in charge of their relationship, of him. Baker's emasculation reached new depths every day. He was baffled at the demise of his masculinity. Just weeks before, he truly considered himself to be some kind of stud, a ladies' man. Sure, he'd had one or two experimental moments where he'd queried his sexuality, but he was straight, so he thought. He certainly had never seen himself as the kind of guy who wore dresses. Yet, here he was, and he'd worn this of his own accord as far as his girlfriend was concerned. How were things spiralling so far, so rapidly, out of his control? He couldn't explain it, even to himself, so he knew he'd never be able to explain it to another. He had no real choice, other than to go along with it. They couldn't take it much further, could they? With his cock now tucked into lilac underwear and his toe and fingernails painted bright red, Baker walked hand in hand with Grace to their local cinema. He didn't ask what they were going to see, but silently prayed it wasn't one of the horror films he hated so much.
And that was Slow Burn Part 3 of Feminizing Her Ex. I have to say, I really am enjoying this podcast tonight because it has a whopping 3 tracks. The last one had like 7, I think, maybe 8. And a lot of the other ones where I'm doing both the premium and the free podcast wind up having multiple tracks as well. And in this one, there's only 3, which is kind of nice for me. So anyway, like I said, next week, expect a pretty cool different show. And I hope you enjoy the show this week. As I said before, all 3 parts are available right now at Clips for Sale, and I should get the 4th part this week, and I will put it up even before it airs, or a clip of it airs, depending on which podcast you listen to. So remember, the free podcast gets part of the audio, and the premium podcast gets the full audio. With an audio like the one this week, a lot of the sexier parts were near the end of the story, and so only the premium podcast gets to hear it. If you want to catch the whole thing, I recommend signing up for the premium podcast. It's $15 a month, but the really nice thing is you get all of, you know, the old audios, which I have to say, we've now been a year with the premium, so there's like 52 weeks worth of full audios, and some of them are well over an hour. So just a little plug. Anyway, thanks so much for listening tonight and for being here and supporting me, and I will be here next week, and I hope you will be too. Bye-bye.